Man, I'll tell you, the folks that were here last night, if some of you are those folks, you were like sponges. It was pretty easy to talk. So I feel it now. Go to Colossians 3. We're going to go where we ended and try to cover something here. You guys doing good this morning?
Yeah.
It's good to see you. It always impresses me that people get up and come to a meeting like this on a Saturday morning. It just touches my heart. Because we do have families and things. It does make you non-spiritual if you don't come. I just appreciate your sacrifice, your commitment to be here. I want you to know, like Pastor said, I'm here for one reason, because I want to be.
Yeah.
I'm not here because I have to be. I'm not mandated to be here. I'm here because I want to be. I got invited. I chose to come. And I said, it's not about offering it up. You guys aren't the ones that are paying my bills. I'm not expecting you to put bread on my table for the next week. I'm here because we're family. If you guys are hungry enough, feel like I have something to share, then I'm going to come and share it.
Yeah.
It's just why I'm here. So it's been off the hook lately. For the last 3 years, I've had 8 years worth of invites every year. Like, I have 400 invites a year on the average. This year, it's probably more. It's really off the charts. It's exciting. It tells me there's a lot of hunger. There's a lot of people that are hearing and going, hey, I want this. I mean, for that many leaders to invite you, apart from relationship, I've never even met these people. And they're asking me to come and giving me a microphone and a pulpit. It's pretty humbling. And I'm like, God, this is incredible. Like, literally could travel and spend my whole year overseas. I get that many invites out of country. And I feel called to America. I just feel called. I feel like I've grown. I'm preaching overseas all the time. There's countries translating and having on radio and TV. It's crazy. I'm like, God, what is going on? And the emails I get are just, they make you cry. So I'm just letting you know, I'm here. This isn't a ministry thing. This isn't a job, a career. This isn't my way of living. It's a calling, and we're family, and I'm here because I'm one of them. And I'm having fun being here. And I really like you all. So, anyway, let's preach the gospel, huh? So, who was here last night? You guys, honestly, I'm not looking for a shower or a cheer, but did you really get something out of last night? You guys were spongous last night. I'm thinking, you know, these are. I'm glad you said you're home. I like that because I tell people, look, this is like a living room chat. These are like family meetings. You know, I don't preach sermons. You figured that out, right? I just talk out of my heart. I just pour out my heart. And as I hear, I say it just comes. And it is like a machine gun sometimes to me. I don't even know. It's just, but I've learned if you fill your heart with the Word, if you take the time to be with Him and fill yourself with who He is will come out of you. Listen, if we just get caught up with life and let everything bother us and have chips on our shoulder and then we're only reading our Bible to find a promise to pray about our trouble, we'll never really get to know Him. We'll just be frustrated people that go to church.
Come on.
Come on. We'll take the time to get to know Him. We sang it today. You guys are amazing. You're always right on it. You know, I think they inspire me to just follow along with them that because they're singing this song. I don't just want to know about you. I'll never be able to call you my own. What a song. Intimacy. What amazing truth. Come on, man. You can go to church your whole life and let church attendance take the place of knowing Him.
Yeah.
You can be in ministry and serve in ministry for 30 years and let that identify you and take the place of knowing Him.
Come on.
Get thrown in trouble and react like a man that never went
yes.
to church. The gospel has to be greater than that. The gospel has to be greater than me going to church for 50 years, never missing a Sunday, and have a resume of ministry, get thrown into crisis and respond like a man that doesn't even believe there's God.
Yeah.
Well, I want to know Him. To the place that who He is flowing in and through my life. And He's the reason for my being. And He's my response. And He's my wisdom. That when men see my life in the face of that stuff, there's a fragrance of Christ.
Yeah.
There's just something attractive. Man, I've had so much fun. I don't talk about it a lot because it draws attention to yourself at times. But for some reason, but, you know, I sit on an airplane and you pour out your heart to somebody, they ask you how you're doing. Don't ask me that if you're not serious. Don't do that rhetorically. How are you doing? Oh, I'm glad you asked. It's like a pool string. It's like a pool cord doll. You just pull it a mile. Just, how are you doing? That's what I'm doing. But you know what's amazing? People get a little on the surface because there's so much negative broadcast and the minister that did this and that. And people get, they stereotype God for the weakness of man, and people get just, it would be just really good to just walk in freedom and walk in light. No matter what their first impression is, it's subject to change because of your consistency, because you're solid. You're in the Lord.
Amen.
You're not ministering. It's who you are.
Amen.
So I'm on a planet. I've been talking like that. I'm ministering. I'm not being abrasive and loud. I'm trying to overtake the planet. I'm just talking. But it's amazing how people can hear.
Yeah.
And a guy in front of me one time, he's opened a book. And he was on the same page the whole time I was talking to the lady. Why? He wasn't reading. I just noticed it. And I'm like, this is funny. He's just like, you know, whatever. He's just like this. He never turned the page. It's a long time. And he wasn't sleeping. He was listening. So what happens is, you get off the plane and you're walking out the jetway and they tug your arm. And they tremble. They say, do you have a minute? I couldn't help but to hear what you were saying. And they're hungry. People are searching. They don't need to see another travel-weary passenger. That's normal. They don't need to see another frustrated person fucking lying to get into the same place.
Yeah.
Don't need to see another person trying to get the first to go run for your bags or somebody else's stock. It's funny how Christians get caught always praying for the best and the easiest, the convenience, the best parking, the best, the first, I'm our favorite brother, and you forget that somebody else is last.
Yeah, come on.
You're always praying for the best, and then somebody else gets second. Why don't you take the back seat now and then? Let somebody else go first. I just know how we do, guys. I've listened to a lot of stuff out there. I've heard a lot of teachings. It's always about our well-being instead of our looking like Him.
Yeah.
It's always about what we can get from God. Most of the teaching I hear is about the favor, the perks, the benefits, and the blessings of the Lord instead of the transformation of God. So He's shining in the eyes.
Yes.
Come on.
That's it.
Thank God for His kisses on the cheek. Thank God for little favorite stuff. But when it comes because you're not looking for it, it just comes because He's good. That's sweet and healthy and holy. When you're always just praying, you're driving around Walmart for 30 minutes praying in tongues and they finally pull out and you pull it all from the shop. Yeah, you could have got your stuff and been out and parked in the van and somebody else could have gotten less. So you'd already been going. You're just driving around. Somebody pulls in front of you and takes your spot. Devil, I find you. You know, that's not right. The devil didn't take your parking spot. I just know this stuff happens out there.
Yes,
I've been around. I've been around 20 years, and that's not a long, long time. But it's long enough to see this stuff. So I just don't want you to ever have the impression that you're a Christian for your sake, because that's trouble for you. If you're a Christian for your sake, you're going to weigh things. You're going to have reasons for being discouraged. You're going to be frustrated. You're going to find yourself complaining to God. If you're a Christian for you, you're in trouble. If you're a Christian for His great name and for others, you are on your way. The pure in heart shall see God.
Yes.
Come on. Man, I feel so good in this. I'm so emotional
all the
time. Like every hair standing up on my body right now, I feel like God just wants that point so nailed in this house this morning. Not that you're bad, not that you're doing wrong. Just don't mean to say you're not a Christian for you. You're a Christian for others. You're a Christian for His great name. It's not about what He can do for you. It's about how He can make you more like Him.
Yes.
The finished work of Christ is not fulfilled. The cross is not paid in full when a man prays a prayer to go to heaven. It's when a man's nature is restored back to love.
Amen.
That's when all things are made new. That's when the beginning is restored.
Yes.
It's not enough to just want to go to heaven. It's enough to let heaven come in and flow for you. Come on. God deposited the blood of Jesus into the earth, and the dividends and interest he receives is many sons. Not confessing Christians to go to church. Many sons. You guys follow me?
Yeah.
Look, if I can't see it in Jesus' heart, life, attitude, or mind, I don't want it in mine. Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it cool. If it doesn't produce life, it can't be the Lord.
Amen.
I don't want the way it seems right to a man interjected into and laced into my faith, my Christian confession. I want the wisdom of God in the life of the Spirit. I don't want, brother, sometimes. I don't want that. Man, not everybody's perfect. What are you even trying to say? You're just excusing your weakness that you already know is there?
Come on.
Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
All right. I'm feeling a lot of stuff right now. Listen, just be careful you don't ever teach yourself religion and just be around God, go to church, and they get your identity through doing church. You get your identity through Christ in you. So that when nobody's around, when it's just you and somebody that just did you wrong and nobody's watching, you respond like Jesus. You ain't got no reward from people. You don't got a praise from man. You don't have a stroke on the shoulder. Wow, you're all somebody. You just have a clear conscience and a heart that's clean before God. That's priceless. And someday you just look in a mirror and you look right in your eyes and you actually feel good about who you are. That's a goal, man. That's a payday. When you love yourself healthy in God, not vanity. When you actually look in the mirror and there's just no secrets, there's nothing in your life that makes you cringe. There's just, you're just clean and squeaky in the presence of the Lord. See, the world says, Christians say, some pastors believe that every man has their stuff. But everybody got their secrets. Said it yesterday, take away the landing strip and the plane won't come in.
Yes.
Why does every man have to have his secrets? How can you live with clear conscience when you're living in secrets?
Amen.
How can you have confidence before God and live with an unveiled face? Every time you get in his presence, you're aware of what you haven't been or what you have been. Instead of just aware of his love and who you're becoming in him. See, I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about getting everything right all the time. I'm talking about living with a pure and clean heart. And even if you do stumble along the way, man, you do something about it in your heart by saying, wow, that's not what you called me to, God, whatever, that is not, and I appreciate your love for me. Thanks for making me wiser, God. I still appreciate the way you're growing me. You don't take it for granted. You say, well, everybody has their stuff. Well, none of us are perfect, brother. You're doing yourself great harm. You're actually veiling your relationship with God. You're cutting yourself from having clear face intimacy, or you're going to teach yourself religion that claims to know him, but you stay the same. You guys with me?
Yes.
It's not about staying the same. We're not preaching some weird grace that says, oh, well, God loves me anyway. No, the love of God changes you.
Yes.
Look, he didn't forgive you, so you just are forgiven. He forgave you, so the beauty of that forgiveness overtakes your heart, and you become living, walking, breathing forgiveness.
Yeah.
He reproduces himself in us. He made us for his image. We're Christians. It means Christ-like ones. It's not time for me to have an attitude today. It's not time for me to be in a family and put pressure on everybody else in the house with an attitude.
Come on.
It's time for me to understand what family means.
Yeah.
It's not time for me to throw a fit, give the silent treatment, put on a bully, be fussy for 4 hours, and then go to church. It's not cool. It's not Jesus. It's religion. You're deceiving yourself and you're lying to your own heart. It's not cool to get so familiar with each other that if we can act less than Christ, we'll be okay with that. I'm not talking legalistic, militant stuff if you really listen to my heart. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I'm talking about you really taking account for your life and honoring the value of it. And seeing that life is a gift. And that people around you are treasures.
There
you go. You have a great honor of living in love and laying down your life for others, or getting twisted and living at the expense of everyone. It's putting pressure on your household. Just copping an attitude. Just making people squirm. It's not the kingdom. I don't know why I'm saying this so strongly.
It's great.
Man, this stuff doesn't ever have to be among us, ever.
Ever.
We can have peace in the house.
Yes.
Blessed are the peacemakers. They're the sons of God. Not the ones that are confessing sonship. The ones that are pursuing peace. Look, you can confess sonship all you want. You can let what I'm preaching be a new language and do injustice to the grace of God that changes us. And you can just say it all right. It's becoming it all that makes you yours. Jesus came to him and he said, you say, love your neighbor, but hate your enemy. And he said, but I say, love your enemy.
Amen.
Sounds like he's saying something different than we grew up with.
Yeah.
In that whole chapter, he says, you say, but I say. You say, but I say. What's he saying?
You ain't saying what I'm saying. Come on, this isn't deep.
But it is profound. He said, you grew up believing love your neighbor, hate your enemy. I'm telling you, love your enemy, pray for those who persecute you, give to those who spitefully use you. Why? So that you may be sons of your Father. What's he saying? That your life reveals you know him. We produce this thing, oh yeah, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I pray. Yeah, I go to such and such church. Yeah, man, I'm over to Destiny. That's not what gives you your identity.
Yeah.
You go over to Destiny because you're connecting with folks that know him. You're sticking together, locked in arms, growing in him, stirring one another in love and good works.
Yeah.
What makes you a Christian isn't, oh yeah, I'll go to church. Yeah, I've been transformed and changed. I used to have a heart like this, but now I have a heart like this. And it's so good to me. I used to despise men and now I love people. People used to get under my skin, but now I have new skin. Come on, guys. Don't teach yourself religion. Don't have the straight revelation right in front of us and still allow yourself to just stay the same that doesn't produce life. That same thing that doesn't produce life. That thing that judges people, that thing that talks down on them, that thing that's cynical and makes fun of folks, that thing that puts you on a pedestal and them down in the gutter and you don't even realize necessarily you're doing it, but it's there. People, I can't believe it. Like, anything's bothering you. Well, they don't bother Jesus. He died for them. The things about their life he wants to change, true. But God's not sitting there offended. He's not sitting there having a conversation with Jesus, disdaining them. And come on, we grew up that way, guys. We were trained by a lie, and the truth wants to retrain us. You following? So being a Christian is becoming love. The goal of Christianity is becoming love. It's not just healing the sick. It's not a miracle on the street. That stuff's awesome. You don't want to flow out of love. If that stuff's not flowing from the platform of love, you're going to get trouble, crash, and burn anyway. You're going to get big head or prideful, or somebody's going to put you on a pedestal. You'll be somebody's hero, and you'll live off of that.
Yeah.
Bible says you have all knowledge of all mysteries. Corinthians 13, 1 Corinthians. Knowledge of how many mysteries? Not some. It's pretty amazing. The knowledge of all mysteries, Pastor. Faith is to move all mountains, or all faith to move mountains, which means every mountain. So in the Bible, he takes it to the top of the ladder. He says you can have it all flow into where you have the knowledge of all mysteries and faith to move every mountain that's in front of you. Guess what? That's a spiritual icon. Knowledge of all mysteries and faith to move all mountains, that's the goods, baby. That's what we believe. And it says if he has not love, he's missed the whole point as nothing.
Amen.
We're sold by the gift. We're sold by the manifestation. We're sold by the knowledge. And the Bible's one is impressed with love. The Bible wants the love to be the goal. Why? Because everything that flows should flow from the heart of God. Then it'll always be clean, and it'll never get ugly, and it'll never lead people astray, and it'll never cause people to get a bad impression. If you're not pursuing to know Him, pursuing His love, and you're just in touch with your gift, and you're just becoming everybody's mail reader, be very careful.
Wow.
Everybody's running to you for a word, and you're not pursuing relationship with Jesus, you will get puffed up in the fact that everybody's esteeming your gift. And you'll think the gift has something to do with you.
That's so good.
It's a gift.
Yes.
You okay?
So
come on, it's so healthy, the stuff we need to talk about this stuff. Because there's people just desperately used by God. That can be dangerous. You get to know Him, and the spontaneous flow of your life will be used by God. You just, your life will reveal Him. You'll find yourself in moves of God. You're not trying to minister your ministry.
Yeah.
Look, love is very evangelistic. You're not trying to be an evangelist. Love is just evangelistic. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of our instruction, the purpose of the commandment, is love. Guys, if we miss love, we miss the whole point. Guess what love is according to the Bible? It's patient, it's kind, it suffers long. You know what love does? It doesn't seek its own. And because it doesn't seek its own, watch, it takes no account of the wrong done to it. No account. So why are we talking about the wrong all the time? Why are we trying to get healing and deliverance and ministry because of what people have done? Because we failed to pursue love and become love.
Yeah.
We think we're Christians for our sake and don't realize what's happening. So we worship Him and call Him Lord and let everything else decide who we are and how we're doing. Are you guys with me?
Yeah.
I know it's challenging, but it's freedom if you'll listen. Come on. I don't want to learn to sing Holy to the Lamb and Worthy is the Lamb and Glory to God and then be driven by how you see me or how you treated me.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a product of everything that's going on around me. I want to be a product of the one that I'm singing is inside of me. See, love takes no account of the wrong done to it. What account? Isn't it amazing how full of feelings we are when wrong's done? Isn't it amazing how it catches us off guard and shakes us and steals and robs our identity sometimes for years, not days and weeks, years? Isn't that amazing? We were taught that way. We were born into that. We must be born again. Born again is not a confession of faith that you believe He's Lord and you're going to heaven. Born again is a brand new way of thinking, living, as if you never lived before. That's why we baptize in the likeness of His death and die to sin once for all, reckon ourselves alive unto God forevermore.
Yes.
You get it? Come on, it's just so simple to me. What keeps me happy? Do you know what? I'm not counting the care for myself. I didn't wake up with one expectation on you today. There's no way you can fail me today. Which is so free. So, because if it wasn't that way, I'm only as strong as your weakness. I'm only as good as you see me. I'm only as good as you treat me. I'm only doing as good as you acknowledge me. And it's like you come in and people, you're awesome, laugh, I'm well. Whoa. I'm awesome. And then all of a sudden the awesome doesn't come, or somebody doesn't say what you need. It's like an addiction. It's just weird. Let me tell you why we're awesome. It's not because we've done anything good, it's because we were made for His image. And He never lost sight of that. And He's pursuing that. That's the agreement with God, what makes you worthy of the blood is that you have destiny and purpose in life. It's not that God has to get over where you've been, what you've done, not think about it. He says you're more than that. Tim and I talked a little earlier. He says, Tim, I know what it was like 6 years ago. I know some of the things, but I know who I made you to be, and I know who you are, and I love you, son, and I'll never change my mind about you. You have destiny inside of you. That's why the blood is speaking for you right now. No matter where you've been, no matter how you mishandled, whatever, the blood is saying you're more than what you've understood, and you have greater destiny than what you've given yourself to. So keep giving yourself to me because I love you. That's identity.
Yes.
Amen. Mr. Tim was telling me, I'm really in a search for my identity. I really just want to get locked in it. So I'm just using him as an example. The right front and center, might as well. It's true for everybody else, though. You can put your name in there.
Yes.
Come on. Love was never designed to be a mystery, the love of God. We sing songs in church making the love of God sound like a scratch-head mystery. Like, why would you love somebody like me? Why? Because we're identifying our value based on the life we know.
Yeah.
Instead of the life we're created for.
Yeah.
What makes you valuable is your purpose. God's created value. Your created value from God. What He made you for is what makes you valuable.
Yes.
Yeah. Come on, when I went to church my whole life, I was taught that Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. Jesus died on the cross because I'm a sinner. It's okay, great, that's awesome. He's willing to forgive me of my sin, but it leaves me a sinner.
Yeah.
And after a while, I don't even get it because my heart's full of failure and inconsistency, and I got things in my heart that I know just by instinct aren't cool.
Yeah.
You follow me? Whoever experienced this, you're going to church, you're hearing all the right stuff it seems, you're in the atmosphere, and yet you're like, that's not me. That's not where I'm at. That's not what's going on in there. And you're here, but He loves you. He died for you. He died because you're a sinner. You didn't deserve it, but He did it because He wants you in heaven with Him. And I'm a young man. I'm up to 16, 18, 20 years old when I quit going to church. I was like, great, I get okay. So He wants me in heaven. And I'm like, but why? I don't even know Him. And why do you want to die and forgive me of everything
Come
I did
on.
So that one day I could be in a big room with Him or something? I don't even get it. Come on, it was weird, but did anybody else have any struggles with the gospel growing up than me, or is that just a strange case? How many people have thought, I can't imagine why God would love me this much? Who's ever wrestled with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. All of
them. Okay, see, it's an absolutely sure, yeah, because here's the trick, the trap. We're weighing our value based on the lives we know. And we can't comprehend God loving what we know about us.
Yes.
That's not what He loves. What He loves is what He made you to be, your potential, your destiny. Who He left nothing be lost through love, through Christ, even though man sins. He said, you have the same destiny, you have the same potential, I have changed not, and I'm positioned to change you if you'll let me. So be the clay, because I am the great pot.
Yes.
Come on, that's the gospel. And if we just preach it in a self-serving way, and it's just about blessings and provision and a better job and a perfect mate, we've missed the whole point. And that's why we got a lot of frustrated, discouraged people that go to church. And that's not an impact in life.
Nope.
You don't have a lot of influence in that arena. You just fit in. Come on, I'm not being mean. Can you tell I'm not trying to hurt nobody?
Yeah.
I just want to provoke you to some things. Are we okay?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're getting it.
Just checking in, man. Just making sure I'm all right.
You are all
right. I talk pretty straight. I don't know how else to talk. Every time I read, it's just really clear to me. It's straight.
Yeah.
It's a straight sword. It's a sharp one. Yeah. You go deep. Joints in the marrow. That's why we laugh a lot, so you don't feel any pain. Why, Lord, why do you have me acting so goofy at the time? People are just roaring, laughing, and I don't even think I'm trying to be funny. It's anesthesia. Because I'm talking, you're getting sliced, and you don't even know. You're laughing through surgery. It's like, that's what happens. It's just neat. You leave here, you're totally circumcised, you don't even know you're laughing. So I'm stiffer. See, the fact that we're getting so silly now laughing, the sword's probably coming. It's all slipped in there in a minute, huh? No, this thing is simple, man. The goal of our instruction is love. Did I turn you Colossians 3? I did. We probably ought to just go. Because then everything I'm preaching will make sense right now, whole section of Scripture, okay? Get in the habit, not because you're supposed to, because it's what Christians do, but because you want to know. But get in the habit of really feeding the Bible. Don't say, man, this crazy stuff's out there right now. I know I'm using the raw word, crazy stuff. I've seen strange stuff. Strange ideas. People say, well, you know, I'm not under the law. I have the word in me. I don't need to read the word. The word's in me because he's the word. That's just too analytical and it's creepy. That's like not good. No, you get in the Word of God, and let the Word of God get in you.
Yeah.
There's pastors out there saying, well, the book is old, and we're reading precepts from 1,000 years old, and it is the year 2015, probably all that God's being fresh. So be careful. There was a lot that took place to get this thing in your hands. There's bloodshed, there was a lot of stuff. And I'll bet you God is big enough to preserve truth and put it in my hand. I bet you God's able to get me the truth of who he is if he's going to hold me in that standard.
Yeah.
If I'm going to be judged someday according to truth, I'll bet he's going to give it to me.
Yeah.
He's not playing charades. Do you believe? Or do you believe this is the Word of God?
Yeah.
Now listen, you don't read your Bible to know what it says. You read your Bible to know him.
Yeah.
Simple stuff, guys. You don't read your Bible because, oh, well, you know, we're going to church. I hope pastor doesn't walk up and ask where I'm feeding. I haven't been reading. I better read something quick. I had a pastor in my life once who would always ask people, where are you feeding in the Word? What are you reading? What's God saying to you? People would get nervous, freaked out. They were intimidated by him because they were afraid he was going to ask them. So right before church, they'd make sure they'd read a chapter. You know, pastor, I was just reading. It's just weird. You don't read because it's the Christian assignment.
Yeah.
We read to know him. He's given us the truth of who he is, and in that truth we find out who you are. Because
yeah.
You and him have been one from the beginning. He saw you in him through Christ a long time ago. It says before the foundation of the world, you're predestined to be a son, a daughter. Come on.
Yeah.
So when you read your Bible, read it in a very personal way to know him, see the truth about who he is, and find yourself in him. It makes it fun to read your Bible because your heart comes alive. Think, don't say, well, I don't understand my Bible. Probably not. If you're just open and reading it, you're like, huh? But if you'll hold it and just say, Lord, I really honor that you gave me the Word of God and the price that was paid to get this thing in my hands. Holy Spirit, you utter these things to men's hearts and they penned them down and they're preserved. And here I am. In the year 2015, I get to read them and understand them. Thanks for giving me insight. Holy Spirit, I just trust that you're going to open my heart and show me truth. I really want to know
so
you.
Good.
Thank you for loving me. And you don't do anything apart from relationship. You don't get rhetorical. It'll just be the Christian thing to do. And all of a sudden, you just read your Bible all the time and never even commune with God. Come on, it's possible to have a Christian ringtone, a Christian screensaver, a Christian t-shirt, bumper sticker, and stereo plan, and never contact God from your heart. And you let the Christian things decide who you are instead of knowing him. And all of a sudden, all the Christian stuff wraps up your identity instead of becoming one with him and being loved by him. You guys follow what I'm saying? I'm not nitpicking. I'm just sharing stuff that I see happening. All the time, there are good people intending right. They're not evil, wicked people. I'm not talking to a room of hypocrites. Are you kidding me? You guys can't come on a Saturday morning at 10 o'clock because you're looking to miss a call. I'm not really spanking you. I'm not preaching to you for where you're not. I'm showing you where you're called.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Yes,
good?
Yes. Let's do Colossians 3. It'll be helpful.
If you want to get really excited, you can back up to 1 and just start there.
I have a color code in my mind. I'm like a little kid, man. I'm not a real technical guy, so I don't have all this fancy stuff you all have with all your little... You can probably do colors with your computers and highlight it right on your computer, right on your little iPad. It's amazing. I take a colored pencil and I just write it all in here. But my Bible is so pretty. Look at that. Oh my goodness, and it all means something. Every color has a meaning. See that green? It's the love of God.
Oh, it's amazing. Do you see that green right there? What?
Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also forgive. Now, that's not a parable, that's not a riddle, that's pretty easy to understand.
Wonder if all of us in the room would begin to pursue that one little paragraph of green that I just read.
Are you guys with me?
Yes,
come on! I think sometimes we start just looking for ministry and spectacular, but what's God saying and who can we live to be every day? How free can our hearts really be in this truth? Listen again. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do.
There's the last little bit of green. Watch.
But above all these things, put on love, because it's the bond of perfection. Well, that's pretty simple instruction. If we were feeding there and giving our hearts to there, probably we'd have the capacity to say, well, I'm just ticked off. And she gets me mad. And she needs to be straightened out. Well, I don't know if I'm going to keep coming to this church because she bugs me. That doesn't sound like what I just read. That sounds like the way the world talks to you, and you're clinging to it and clinging to him. Then you got sensitive people that are counselors and people that feel the way you do, and then they're trying to tell you that, well, they understand how you feel, we need to this and that. No, we need to kill how you feel.
Come on.
Kill it. You're not going to come to me to counsel and justify those. I'm going to kill them, or you're going to get mad at me and walk out the room. It's one or the other. I'm going to kill them, and you're going to get free, or you're going to walk out of the room, and I'm going to be on your list too. You keep going to church, worthy, holy, and you got issues, don't. And you're hiding behind your worship expression. And never even getting real with your heart. Now I'm talking straight. You guys are hearing me, aren't you? Come on, man, I don't want issues with you. I want to love you. I want to put on love, it's a bond of perfection. Come on, for me to prefer my desires over you and my preferences, well, see, just, I don't know about our personality. Well, he comes across a certain way and it just bothers me. All of a sudden, you're making your preference lord over who they are. It's a pride. You're actually, it's self-righteous. You're actually demeaning them and looking down on them.
Yeah.
Making your way better when it's all about his way. And you do it somehow in the name of the Lord, in the arena of the Lord. That's just deception. God doesn't want that in the house.
Yeah.
I promise you, he doesn't want animosity and adversity. He doesn't want unresolved and conflict. He says when there's wars and things like that among you, it reveals your karma. Come on. If you read the scriptures on this one topic, it's countless scriptures that talks about our conduct and how easy it should be to just love one another, believe the best, and lay down our lives for one another. Mm-hmm. Not have issues, get in trouble with all that, have to have meetings, get in I honestly believe it with all my heart. You can call me in denial all you want. I believe it's possible to have peace in my life. I believe it's possible to come to church. And yes, you got young people coming in and people that don't understand and people that don't have a background, but they would quickly get swallowed up with love if we become love. There can be a foundation of people that walk Christ and know Christ that people would have a pattern to follow and an example through faith and patience or walking in this thing. And they go, wow, that's strong. Wow, that's impressive. Wow, that's amazing. And all of a sudden you go, wow, it's almost like nothing ever bothers you. Well, it's not that anything ever bothers you. I don't have some steel heart, steel case heart. It's that God's teaching me love. And love, which for the sake of others, doesn't consider myself. Whoa, and all of a sudden through your life, you're teaching them.
Amen.
And all of a sudden they're getting conviction. And through your life, understanding what it means to be a Christian. And now we don't just have a church of 500 and great music. We actually have people that love one another.
Yes, that's it.
We run a risk. The bigger we get, the more talent, the more gifts, the more awesome. And all of a sudden, the atmosphere and what we have together seems to be the reward. No, it's who you are waking up in the morning. It's who you are within your family. It's who you are on the job. It's who you are while you're driving in that car. Nobody but you and Jesus. That's what makes us the healthy church. You guys with me? Come on, I'm not nitpicking. Just talking straight. You guys all right as leaders?
Great.
I don't want to learn to just do church. I think we've tried that long enough. Watch this. Watch this. If going to church was going to change the world, probably would have worked by now.
Yeah.
Becoming love is what will change the world.
Come on.
And as you become love, of course you go to church because you won't forsake gathering yourselves together because you have like hearts and like spirits. And you're going to keep stirring one another up and loving the Lord. Look, God never said call a meeting for what he can do for us. He said when you come together, do it often, especially as you see the day approaching, so that you can keep each other on page and keep each other aware of why you're here. It's for love and good works. It's for the expression of Christ through your life. That's the reason we gather, to keep each other focused on why you're Christians. We've turned it into how do you feel, what are you going through, and it's just all ministry. It's all ministry, and if we're not careful, it's almost all self-serving.
That's great.
So you got the precious wife. She just loves Jesus. I mean, she's the sweetest lady in the church, right? And it's just amazing how when you find a lady like that, it seems like her husband doesn't want nothing to do with God, and you're like, it's a paradox. I've seen it a lot. So the tendency is, and the trap is, you love her because she's like the sweetest thing ever, like flowers bloom out of season when she's around her. You know, she's just sweet. And she's just, oh, I haven't even heard a thing, you know? And there's a daisy sitting there, and it's supposed to open for a month, but she's standing there, scared as hell. She's just sweet. And then her husband's around her. So then what happens is the tendency is you get emotional about that, and you feel sorry for her, you get mad at him. She's coming to your little home group. How are you, honey? How's things at home? And her little lip trembles, and she's trying to hold it together, and you can see she has pain. But see, we accommodate that stuff. We oblige that, and we expect her to have pain. We start feeling sorry for her, and when we pray for him, it's because we're mad at him, because he's a dog, and I wish he changed and God would him off his high horse. How dare he put it? And after a while, if nothing changes, then you start saying, well, you don't deserve to live under this, and you shouldn't be, and you shouldn't let nobody, and God has something better for you, and you just got a short life, and next thing you know, you're counseling her in what Jesus would never say. Put her on the hot seat, get her in the chair, and don't pray over her, you're all crying, because she's hurt, because he's a dog. And we call that ministry. Wonder if you're empowering her to stay the same. We call it compassion. Wonder if it's just human empathy, and it's just sheer sympathy. Wonder if you just feel sorry for her, and it'll never have the power to change anything. Wonder if you actually just know you'd feel the same way if you were in her shoes, so you just feel bad. So you wrap your arms around her and you pray. And it sounds spiritual. It seems great, but I'm telling you, it's not the inspiration of the Lord. No, you got to look at her and be strong enough to say, honey, I don't totally know what you're going through because my husband doesn't act that way and he hasn't. But but I can see how it's trying to affect you. And I want to encourage you in a couple of things. Your husband is not the truth, or the truth of who you are. Understand it's a high covenant, understand it's good. But Jesus is in you, and then you start teaching the heart of God, the perspective of God, so her heart doesn't get hardened or dampened or dull, that actually she's alive in God. She's looking through God's eyes at her husband, and somehow God, by grace, gives her the ability to see the husband just like he does. And now she has the wisdom to function and not be hurt and not react and not give a little sting to her and not pull the cry behind the scenes. And, are you crying? No, I'm okay. All the crazy stuff we do. And all of a sudden, she's just strong, vibrant, a woman of God, and like that Daisy, all of a sudden, her husband just starts opening up. If that's not the case, you know what happens? She comes to church, she looks like she's spiritual, she loves the Lord, she's kneeling the longest, singing the loudest, she's just on it. But she walks in the door, she's beat down, she's quiet, she's unsettled, she's not like that at all at home. You don't see that. The husband's confused. You always go to church, and you always dance, and you're laughing with your friends. When you come home here, you won't even talk. You're always sad. You catch you crying. See, we don't even know the whole story. It's because hurt and offense makes you different than Jesus. When you need people so much that it depends on who you are, it's a form of idolatry, and nobody hardly seems strong enough to teach that. When you need somebody to be a certain way for you to be okay, it's idolatry. That's making that thing greater than who God is in you.
My goodness, that's great.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
But we understand it psychologically, so we relate to it, so we minister in a soft way. And we understand. I don't want to understand that. I don't want to live that way anymore. I see it as weakness. I learned it firsthand. I don't like to exploit things, details. My wife went into identity crisis for 6 years. I preach identity, guys. That can be a slap in the face if you don't understand what I'm talking about. You can take that person, all of a sudden your wife's weight and pressure against you and conflicting the call of your life and ministry. She's needy, frustrated with her, saying, get with it, girl. We've got to fulfill the will of God. She needs Jesus more than ever. It's time to love her. My kids are in their mid-teens. They've got things pulling on them, and they're looking at the weakness they're seeing that's grabbing mama and how she's got, and they start letting her life be an excuse for their decisions, and all of a sudden I'm odd man out, and they avoid me, and all of a sudden I'm an enigma, and all of a sudden they're saying, well, nobody's really like you, Dad. Nobody's really like you, Dad. You're extreme. It's not really the way you say that. You're just different. I haven't, my son said, I've searched at church. I haven't found anyone that's close to the way you talk and live and are and even so and so. They were, he was using other people and pulling out their weaknesses to confront the truth that was confronting him. That's how desperate people will be to stay in the flesh.
So true, isn't it?
But it doesn't change the truth.
No.
So was I a bad daddy? Was I doing everything wrong? See, that's the mistake we make. We think because everybody's not falling in love with Jesus, we're bad Christians. Or if our kids aren't on fire for God, we did something wrong. Right? Come on. God is the greatest father there ever will be. He doesn't need a parenting program. But not everybody's running to his lap to be fathered. It's not a reflection of the father. It's a reflection of the sons and daughters. And everybody's talking about the fathers all the time. The fathers, the fathers. If the father's this, the father. No, if we start realizing we were created to be sons and daughters, it won't matter if your daddy loves you or not. You'll see the love of God through Jesus Christ, and you will be free. Come on! We're always making everything else matter. We got to jump a thousand hoops and get everything else in line before he can be Lord. It's deception.
Come on.
I don't need a dad that loved me to understand the love of God. I understand the love of God through a crucified son.
Yeah.
My dad was an alcoholic, guys. He never said, I love you. He told me I'll never be nothing. Guess what? He was wrong. He was bleeding out his behind from alcohol, cirrhosis of the liver. I was a young man. He was lost. I just kind of like, whatever. I determined to never drink because I saw what it was doing to him. I didn't say, well, I drink because my dad drank. Well, that's probably the reason you shouldn't.
Come on.
Well, brother, it's a generational curse. Stop it. If you're saying that, step out of it. Say no to that. Sometimes it's just a cop-out and excuse and a weakness of the flesh, and now you're going down the same thing that you despise. Well, this thing's on me now. I'm not mad at you.
Come on.
I'm mad at that lie.
Yes.
See, the Bible says angry and do not sin. I'm full of passion and emotion, but here's what anger and not sin is. When you're passionate about a topic without the cost of the people being in jeopardy. Yeah. When you're angry in sin, you've demeaned the value of men. When you're angry to the point that you cut someone off or see them less than truth, that's sin. When you're passionate about a topic but it doesn't cost men their value or destiny, it's okay with God. He flipped the money tables over, guys. He looked at Pharisees and said, woe to you. You scribes, you Pharisees, you hypocrites. And he did it 7 times. Bam, bam, bam.
Yes.
He wasn't in sin. He's crying out saying, enough's enough. How can't you see? How will you escape? You're more than what you're giving yourself to. And before he's going to the cross, he's given him one amazing chance to change. Jesus wasn't having a bad day over the edge and losing it. He was loving that. The truth. Some you save with compassion, some you snatch out of fire. See, I did it yesterday. I said, you say, well, you don't know what I've been through. I'm not being insensitive to you. We just need to stop going there. There's a time you have to talk some people through stuff, but make sure you kill their past while you're doing it. Don't think you got to clean everything up. Just kill it. Just say, listen, honey, I know that's trying to hurt you, and I know, but listen, if you knew. You say, yeah, but Dan, I was touched wrong. Wonder if I was. What does that have anything to do with Christ in me now that he's come, the truth about my life? It just means that somebody perverted, demented, and twisted did something they shouldn't do, and now it's going to try to cost me my identity, my destiny, and make me a product of them. Whatever. No way.
Come on.
Now let me see. I don't need prayer, don't need ministry, don't need deliverance, don't need inner healed.
Right.
The gospel healed me from the inside out. Because the gospel separated me from darkness, translated me into the light, and tucked me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And nobody has to make up for nothing because you can't. He just made my life right. And now I can look back and see that from a right perspective and actually have mercy and feel sad for instead of be angry and hurt by. Do you hear the power of what I'm preaching and the difference?
Yes.
So my dad sees my salvation when I get saved, comes to me and cries. He says, you're changed. I'm proud of you. I wasn't praying for God to get my dad to acknowledge me. Some people, they have such a stronghold of needing acceptance from their parents that their whole goal is for the day their dad says, I love you. And they're not free until he says that. And when he says it, they're a wash rag. That is not the goal of your Christianity.
Come on.
Getting your dad to say he loves you. The goal of your Christianity is becoming love.
Amen.
Not needing it.
Yes.
Let me tell you why that's true. God made man in his image in the garden. The image of God is love. Come on, God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because God is love. Everyone that loveth, born of God, and knows God. He who loveth not, just doesn't know God. It doesn't say he doesn't pastor. It doesn't say he doesn't go to church. It doesn't say he's not sincere and doesn't see his need for a Savior. It just says if he doesn't love, he doesn't know God. What he's telling me is I can't have this, truly have this, and not have this.
Yeah.
Because the whole reason for this is this.
Amen.
So nobody's on an island by themselves with God. hiding behind their confession. That's all you're doing. There's people that love pets and love animals, and I'm not against that. There's other people that have a whole bunch of them because they don't trust people and the animals will never hurt them. It's twisted. It's like a disease. It's tragic. You surround yourself with all the little animals because you're so hurt by life and people and men. And so it's for the kitty you'll never hurt you, the puppy just licks you and you'll always be your friend. I'm not judging everybody that has a ton of pets. I'm saying I've learned and met these people. There's a lot of people that surround themselves with animals because the animals won't hurt them because they're so hurt they're done with people. It's perversion. That would be God just done with you. Just go surround himself with the cherubim and seraphim. Just forget about me. You're too much to think of. You got my heart on the yo-yo. I'm tired of you. If it's good, I don't slumber because I never sleep anyway. That would be God. Well, I'm just saying, there's a lot of things motivating us that we better be careful about that have nothing to do with Jesus. Yep. Look, God made man in his image, true?
Yes.
The image of God is love. Yes. So when God made man, he made man for what? To be like him, to what? When man sinned in the garden and cut himself off from God, guess what he cut himself off from? The wellspring of love, the vine. So guess what happened to man when he sinned? Man didn't just sin. He took on the nature of God's enemy, and he cut himself off from love. So what was love a second ago became in desperate need of love because he got cut off from it. God's the source of love. When he got cut off from God, there was no source, there was no love. So he became completely self-centered, self-protective, self-justified, self-defending. Adam, how did you know you were naked? Did you eat the tree? Yes or no question. Did you eat the tree, Adam? Yes, Lord. No, it was the woman you gave me. First effect of sin in the Bible, blame shifting, self-justification, defense of yourself. What's God, what's Adam saying to God? Look, God, don't look at me, man. Don't look at me. If you would have gave me the woman, probably would have ate the tree, pal. Did you ever live that way? Did you ever see anybody live that way? They're flat out wrong. What they did wasn't right, but they have a reason for it. When they have a reason for it, there's no repentance of it. Just a justification for it. That's life apart from love. That's life apart from God. It happened through sin. So watch. You got man that's created to love and manifest God and fill the earth with his glory. To be fruitful and multiply and spread the image and multiply the image to the earth is full of the glory of the Lord. That's the plan of the Lord. Then man eats the tree. It's the day he surely died. Did he fall over dead?
No.
What died? The image.
Yes.
What died? The image, his identity, his God-given created value died in that moment, but it never died with God. So the lamb was slain before the foundation of the earth, and in due time he shot out of the earth like a root out of dry ground. And bam, he brought us back to life.
Amen.
Yeah? It's the gospel. And you think I believe what I'm preaching to you, and I'm going to have people issues today?
Well, he said, and I feel, and I'm...
Not today, friend. Tomorrow's not the right day either. You think that I'm going to go somewhere and somebody's going to treat me right and that's going to affect me? Not a chance. Not if this thing will run that over. Because I've learned this. Nobody owes me nothing. So yeah, I'm just supposed to live in this. Yeah, that's between you and God. But you don't know me that. As soon as I put that expectation. So I just need bread. I like bread. But I put an expectation on him. Now I need him to be a certain way so I'm okay. I just set him up to fail me.
Yeah.
And I just set myself up to be disappointed in him. But then even though I like him a lot, now I hear his name and all I can think about is how he didn't fulfill what I thought he would.
Wow.
And now I've lost his destiny. His identity, my own son. That's all I can remember him. I wish he would die. I wish he wouldn't die. And all of a sudden, it infringes on our ability. Hey, you know Greg Ball? Well, yeah, I do. And a minute ago, I really liked him and thought he was cool. And I got to see his true colors, whatever we say. That is twisted. It's not the kingdom of God. While you were yet a sinner, God sent his son for you. You see, you know, Jesus, I'm not sure you ought to take their nails until they clean up a little. I mean, they're really out there. While you were yet a sinner, what's love saying? Let me tell you what love's saying. Love's saying, I know who you are. I've known you from the beginning. I know your destiny, your potential.
Yes.
Come to me. I'll give you light. I'll show you the way because I am the way.
Yes.
I'm doing this because I know who you are.
So
you have a future in me. You have a destiny. You're more than you think you are. I know you from the beginning. That's what the cross is saying. Careful you don't just think it's saying, look, I know you messed up, but I love you anyway. No matter how much you mess up, hey, I love you. Love you guys. It's not the cross. He's saying, my life for your life. All that I am, to give you all that I am. I'll become what you are so you can become what I've always been. I'll take your place. I'll become the lie so you can be adorned in truth. I'll become the bondage so you can go free. I'll be beaten so you never have to be. I'll die so you can live forevermore.
Amen.
That's the cross. So I just don't want to live in that selfish place where I want all this from God and expect this from God and hold to his promises and don't want to become like he is. When Adam lost his identity, he lost love. He became in need of love. He became blame-shifting. He became self-defending. And what was complete love, fulfilled in love, became in desperate need of love. You and I were born into Adam with no identity. Your identity started to come along the way, and life decided who you were. And you believed who you were according to how things unfolded. Who you were before you came into Christ, even after Christ, if you don't make the adjustment, you're still a product of all that stuff. You're only as good as they treated you or didn't treat you. You're only as good as they said or didn't say. And all of a sudden, you don't even realize what's happening. Who you are is being defined by the way it's been. And you come out a product of life instead of the giver of it.
Come on.
That's what life is without an identity. You're searching for esteem. You're searching for value. You want people to be nice to you and honor you and show you value. Your whole life, we were striving. Some more extreme than others. Some came out tough and fighters. Some looked like a mini. It's just a rat race. It's just survival of the fittest. It's each to its own. It's every man for himself. That's why you have a friend and you call him your best friend and all of a sudden you hate him and don't talk to him for 2 years because they hurt you. You thought they were your friend. They were only your friend because you needed them and they were meeting a need at that time. And when they quit meeting that need, you just cut them off because you really don't love them. You need them.
Man, that's good.
You say, I love you. Do you love me? What you're saying is, I love you for me. I love you for what I get from you.
Yeah.
It's perversion. It's not the kingdom of God. Love says, I love you. Takes no account of the wrong done to it and stays in the position of God in Christ to bring the best out in everything involved. Never changes his mind, never changes his position. So I said, see, I taught this bold because I lived all this stuff and learned it firsthand. I've got my own precious wife who's precious. She just got deceived. She believed one little lie. She believed that people paid attention to her because she was my wife. And she lost her value. She believed the only reason anyone acknowledged her is she was with me and they loved me. She believed I was called and she was just along for the ride. That's what she believed. And I'm like, you can't believe that. She said, well, it's true. I look right now and it's true. She didn't need deliverance. She didn't have a demon. She believed a lie long enough and became strong. And the only way to get a stronghold out isn't to put oil on their head, it's to minister truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't change a belief system with oil.
That's right.
Change a lie with truth.
Yeah.
My kids, so I got a wife for 6 years. 6 years, it was like I was married and wasn't. It was like I had really no connection with my spouse for 6 years. My daughter made a tragic decision and cost herself 8 years of her life, and my son took off and just started to test what you call a wild style of life. And by age 14, he was already behind the scenes testing drugs and checking things out. You say, well, you're a terrible parent. No, I'm a man of God. Because I didn't stop loving anybody, I didn't fall apart, I didn't get condemned, and Jesus is the Lord.
Yeah.
Let me show you what my son just wrote in my Bible a couple months ago. I didn't even know it, so I opened it one day. I love you, Dad. Thanks for surrendering your life to Jesus and becoming the man of God he desired you to be. Thanks for imparting so much truth into me since I was a young child, for never losing sight of me or my value, for fathering me and sticking by my side through thick and thin. Thank you for supporting me strongly in the season of my life when I'm learning who I really am. May the Lord continue to teach you and guide you in divine wisdom and revelation as the Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. I love you, Dad, again. Thank you, your son, Daniel. Your eyes so fixed on this season that you can't see. You start getting condemned and personal. Where did I go wrong? Where do you know how many parents get condemned when their children aren't doing well? I must have did something wrong. Stop it. They might just be making poor choices. You might have done everything right. Maybe not, but even if you did, you fall on the mercy of God and trust what you invest in. Why do you lose your identity? Because they lost theirs. That would be deception. Why do you stay depressed until they're okay? Why don't you stay okay? Because he's in you and trust. Why don't you get along with God and stop crying out despair and problem? Say, Father, I thank you. You have invested into that boy. He's more than what he sees, understands, and gives himself to. He will fulfill your will. I'm not afraid. Your hands upon him, God. Thank you for the honor of fathering him. And thank you that he's my boy.
Yes.
And I'm glad he's your boy too. Holy Spirit, come. And then you go have an amazing day. Extra abuse and condemnation. Boy, I remember when he was 4, I said this, probably shouldn't have. And when he was 7, I did. Now you have a whole hit list against your own soul. And now you're just a condemned parent because your child turned the wrong way. I met two ladies once, and I said, hey, it was really spooky to them. I said, hey, you have 2 sons? She said, yeah. I said, one's in prison, the other one's heading there very soon. I said, it's okay. Jesus knows everything, honey. I said, but here's the problem. You blame yourself. And you said if you were a better mother, they wouldn't. She hyperventilated and looked like she was going to eat 911. I said, honey, God doesn't like you letting your value be destroyed because the poor decision of your son. Sons, honey, your sons are in their 30s. You've been taking the responsibility for their choices and their life, and it has stopped your life. And God wants you released today. You've actually been a good mother. You've been there. The children's running down, mama. Belief system, stronghold, in bondage, captivated by the decisions of her son. So just Satan's getting several birds with just one stone. So Holy Spirit comes by and goes, I love her so much. Pray. And rocked her. Who would have rocked you too? We broke that lie. And she realized that God saw it different.
Yes.
And she realized, I'm going to go with what God says.
Because
what she was believing wasn't producing anything good. That's how you know when you're believing right or not.
Yes.
When you see what it's producing.
Yes.
If what you believe is the producer of life, it cannot be Jesus. If what you believe is just pointing you off, is just keeping you in neutral, or demeaning you, is definitely not the Lord. What you're thinking, what you're believing, isn't producing life and encouraging you forward, it cannot be the Spirit of God. It's a good way to hold yourself accountable.
Yeah.
See, so I'm not just popping off. I was a daddy in the middle of that whole situation. My daughter's repented, my daughter's married, my daughter's doing great. My son, I've never seen him do it so good. My son's just, there's an excitement. He's interning with the ministry and even training to be a program director in a rehab facility. And he loves the Lord. My wife is doing better than I've seen her do in 18 years. And she's praying all the time. She's got her little worship going. She's in her little Bible reading all the time. Everything's little because she's little. But she's doing amazing. She has such a heart and compassion. And the devil tried to rob that gift and rob that influence from her.
Yeah.
She's such compassion, such discernment. There was a time when my wife would stand beside me and I'd be praying, I'd be talking with people, and she'd just real humbly, "Honey, yeah, can you just say something?" I said, "Of course." She'd say like one sentence, and I'm like, "Jump, jump." Compassion, sensitive, a lover. She'd cry over your situation just by hearing it. She cares that much. And Satan tried to just quench that, try to crush that, try to get her to devalue everything that God's made her. Get her to believe it so she can't manifest.
Sure.
Trouble is, in a lot of those situations, the husband's in ministry, full bore, now the wife's weighing him down, now all of a sudden he's a burning out brother, he's calling friends, man, you gotta pray for my wife, she don't change soon, I can't keep going, man. And that's just all natural wisdom, human reasoning, a talk show understands it, but the heavens don't even know what you're thinking.
Right.
My wife in that season didn't need a tired, hurting, frustrated husband. She needed Jesus like never before.
Amen.
She needed patience and understanding and long suffering. And she needed no account of suffering at all.
You get it?
That's why I talk so bold. Because I can. In that season, I was getting phone call after phone call. Marriages, people falling apart, didn't know how they were going to live. Get along for things that were a fraction of what I was right in the middle of when they called me.
They were calling me because they see me full of life and figure I got some. And then some of them would say, "Well, you just really don't understand what I'm going through."
Yeah.
And I'm like, do I have to? Do I have to use heroin and be a former heroin addict to minister to somebody about my heroin? Or do I have to understand God's love, the anointing, and the work of the Holy Spirit? Why do we always think that you have to find somebody that's been through your shoes to relate to you? No, we need to find somebody that's been with Jesus so they can relate to you.
That's good.
They don't need to have to find somebody that beat their wife to minister to somebody that's beaten their wife. I just need to know Jesus. The anointing knows how to handle everything.
Yes, he does.
Oh, I don't do good in your church, man.
Yes, you do. Great. I love it. We got nothing to do.
We didn't even read Colossians 3.
Let's get started.
Promise you, hey. Oh my goodness, because I gotta wrap things up. No, I do. We're coming back at 4. If we did like a 10, 2, and 7, see, then I'd just get it one big blur. As in Mississippi, they did 10, 2, and 7. I went in Thursday night, which is rare.
Wow.
I did. And then I did Friday 10, 2, and 7, Saturday 10, 2, and 7, and Sunday 10, 2, and 7.
Wow.
Because they wanted it. And I was like, sure. Didn't you get tired, brother? Are you kidding me? That's a joke, right? I'm like, the more I'm preaching, I'm like, ah! I mean, just imagine if I Sunday afternoon. No, it's just crazy good, man. In fact, on the last night, I started to reminisce and share intimate stuff, very personal stuff, and I got overtaken. It never happened to me in a service before. I just looked at the guy that called the meetings, and I said, "You gotta take over and do something." I crawled to the corner and just curled up in a ball and cried for like an hour.
Well,
I was just overwhelmed by the love of the Lord. But we had a fun time. But the reason I told you that is those meetings ran together, and we never left. And they just after the first day, they caught wind and said, "I think I know how this is going." So they just started calling in food. And nobody left 10, 2, and 7. It was one. It was ridiculous. It was fun.
Yeah.
No. One zealot, and the rest are going, "Oh,
God. I love your heart. See, her and about five others would be like, woo! And then there was about 50 others going, man, I'm hungry. So we're going to get you out of here. Let me read this real quick. Let's read this real quick. Oh, how do we do this? I really feel like a lot of teaching in my heart. Last night I felt that way. There's other things we want to do tonight. I see one thing I know we're going to do tonight. I already talked to Mr. Tim about it, young man.
Yeah.
It'll be fun. It's called Redemption. We're going to talk about the power
good.
Of blood. Yeah. Chapter 3. Since you've been raised with Christ, so the word if isn't a challenge. He's not saying if you're really saved. The word, it's the Greek word that means since. Since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds. So see, he knows where our minds want to go and can go. So he says, set your mind on things above, not the things of the earth. Why would I do that? See, you did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. Watch. You died. You died. Isn't that awesome? Come on, we ought to teach that. Not just if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer.
Come on.
Then you come out of the bar with a woman on your arm 5 weeks later that's not your wife, and you say, oh, hey, I'm cool, I prayed the prayer.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey, Jesus loves me. He knows my heart. I know he knows your life.
Yeah.
Come on, set your mind on what? Things above, not the things of the earth. Why? Because you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, he's not our confession, he's our life. When Christ, who is our life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, because this is true, in light of what I just said, that's what therefore means. Put to death your members which are on the earth. That means life as you know it. Put to death life as you know it.
Come on.
Fornication. Isn't it amazing? The first thing on the list is always sexual. Do you know why? You were trained sexually by the world, and there's a whole nother way.
Come on.
He didn't tell you to control your sex drive. He said, put it to death as you know it. Doesn't mean it's wrong to come together. Doesn't mean that sex is dirty. It means the way you were trained and taught is not cool.
Yeah.
The first thing you're to put to death is fornication. Your need to be sexual with another person apart from covenant. Your need to draw identity and value by a man being with you and being pleased by you. Come on. Ladies, let me clue you in. Some men that aren't thinking Jesus, even men that are thinking Jesus, doesn't need someone hot to function with.
Come on.
Just because they function with you doesn't mean you're beautiful to them. It just means you have the right stuff.
That's good.
Men will look at a picture on a page and function. It doesn't make you special. It makes you one of millions, not one in millions. The reason it's first on the list is because it captures us the most. And everybody's looking for themselves through sexuality, unfortunately. And there's a vacuum there, and we think that somehow that's going to fill the void. So you've got young women that say, you know, they vow, they have this dream of marriage and a hubby, and now they're 18, they've already slept with five or six fellas, and now they feel certain ways because of that, and it turns into four more, and then they feel, this is crazy. Well, I see people do that stuff. Because we're searching for value. And in the whole process, devaluing ourselves in our own minds. It's amazing how it happens. Man, I'm telling you straight, God did not create women to meet your need. And he didn't make you to have your need met by a woman. He made you to be like him so you can love somebody.
Come on.
And women, he made you to receive that love through the man from God and multiply his image on family. That's healthy.
It's not, I'm not getting any younger. Boy, I'd sure love to have kids. Whoa, she's good looking. Wow, he's hot. It's not that at all. It's I love you. Therefore, put to death. He didn't say control. He said kill it. Let me make a bold statement. Your sexual drive, as you know it, as you grew up with it, did not come from God. It came from Adam. It was derived by selfishness, need, and voids. Your urges and desires were not God-given. They came from the fall of man.
Wow.
Let's stop studying a fallen man and buying into who we are. Let's get born again. Put to death life as we know it, so the new life can thrive and come.
Amen.
I'm talking this one firsthand, too, because I lived on both sides of the fence, trust me. I was a very lost man before Jesus in this area. And man, he set me free.
Amen.
You can ask my wife, who knows I love her, not need her. Some of us are reduced to needing to be needed. You're not created to be needed, you're created to be loved.
Amen.
And we come back right back. Because wonder if they don't need you anymore. Then you go crazy, insecure, lose your identity all over, and go make bad choices. Now you're 45, and you feel like you don't have it like you used to. Now you're in some crisis, because it's in all the magazines. Now you're working extra hard to still have it. That's bondage.
Yeah.
Be okay with who you are and shine. Stop trying to measure up to a man's idea of what makes you acceptable in the pot.
Right. That's
great. You talk about angry. I'm angry at that lie.
Yeah.
More than you know. Because I've watched it hurt so many good people. I've watched it put women and young ladies under such pressure. Because if you ladies grow up believing that lie, if you have it, you have it, and if you don't, you don't, then what? Who made that standard? Look at the bondage it produces and the pressure you're under. Self-awareness, self-consciousness, always trying to be a certain way, look a certain way. And if you feel like you don't have that potential, then you get some other attitude of survival.
Man.
You know I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
Okay, man, that's it. I'm sorry, Uncle. I can't apologize for getting sidetracked. It's not a sidetrack. It's not a rabbit trail. It's a blaze trail. For you died, your life is in question. Christ, so put to death your members, which are on the earth. What are we going to do? Put them to death. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, it's all idolatry. It's all putting things above who he is in you. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming to the sons of disobedience. That means those that continue to disobey in the light of truth. In which you yourselves, you were all on this list in some way. It says, and you yourselves were all this way when you lived this way and lived in this. Right? You once walk when you live in them. So what Paul's assuming is that you understand and I understand that there was a time we lived this way and it was acceptable and normal, but we got the point. This is not who we are and not who he is in us, so we put it all to death. We're not going to judge them. We want to call them out of that thing into the light. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So what he's saying is, but now, watch this, but now you yourselves, it's not an honor call.
Yeah.
It's not ministry. It's not you getting hands laid on you, coming up saying, would you pray for me? I'm really struggling with fits of anger. No, no, no. You yourself are to put off these things. There's a place for you to take accountability for your heart and relationship with God and get along with Jesus and say, you know what? This is a lie. It's not acceptable. I don't accept it. It violates my conscience, but yet it's happening. But it is not who you made me to be. And this kind of anger at the cost of human life is not cool, and I'm done with it, God. I thank you. You're doing a work in me and changing me and causing my heart and mind to change. I'm willing, God, and I'm a big yes in your presence. Keep making me like
yes.
You.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yes.
That's what makes the justification for your anger. Well, I wouldn't feel this way if they did. Well, you need to talk to them. Well, they're the ones that started it. No wonder I'm this way. Why would you feel if you were in my shoes?
The Lord did not teach you to talk that way.
Uh-huh.
Life did. Come on. Look, you yourselves are what? Put it off. He did not say manage your anger. He said put it off. The big phrase on the earth is anger management. That's hypocrisy. That's you being angry and not showing it.
Yeah.
So you say, well, I'm not hurting anybody in the service. No, but you're destroying your own heart.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be angry. Everybody gets angry. I'm just going to modify a little, limit its expression. So I'm really angry with Greg, man. I thought he was a cool guy. So you know what he did. Okay, I'm not going to talk about it because I don't want to gossip. But boy, Greg, you know, oh, he just
pray for it.
And all of a sudden you're like, hey, Greg, hey, buddy, how you doing? And when you turn your back, you're like, oh, you chase me down. Come on, that's hypocrisy. The Bible doesn't say manage these things. It says kill them and put them off. So how do I put off all these things without getting trapped into works and feeling like I'm failing? Biting my lip and just trying to harder and making it a new resolution. Okay, I'm not going to get angry anymore. That's not what you do. Watch. You're not going to lie to one another. Why aren't you going to lie to one another? Because you put off the old man and his deeds. See what Christianity is? You did not prepare to go to heaven. You put off the old man and his deeds. And guess who you put on? You put on the new man. Well, who is the new man? He's renewed in knowledge. He's renewed in an understanding. A brother said last night that word is a good word. It means recognition, a full discernment. You're renewed in a recognition and a full discernment according to his image. The image of him who created him. So guess what you are? You're putting off the old man, you're renewed, you put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to his image. So what's the whole goal of the gospel? His image being restored in you. So you put off the old, put on the new. What's that look like? That's you in your bedroom. Father, I thank you. You didn't make me to despise men or be angry with men. You didn't make me to fall apart with fits of anger, frustration, stress, or rage. God, you made me to make peace. You made me to love. You made me to see the value of men. You made me a tree of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that you might be glorified. And I'm that tree, God, and I accept your grace that changes me.
Yeah,
I thank you that today I look at men through your eyes. Father, I am totally willing and totally ready to become just like you. I thank you that I'm a peacemaker.
Woo!
I thank you that you're so empowers me. I thank you that men don't move me anymore except to compassion and mercy and love. I thank you, Father, you're the truth of who I am on the inside. And I thank you men can only receive the fruit of that and never decide the outcome of that. God, I thank you. I'm a flowing river because you're alive in me. I appreciate the life of Christ. That's Christian prayer. It's not how the car runs, change the boss, and I hope my spouse is having a good day. That's not Christian prayer. That is a self-concerning list, that's going to leave you disappointed by the end of the day. Christian prayer is you communing with God and who He is, becoming who you are. So, Father, I renounce anger. I was never made for anger. Father, I thank you that anger at the cost of men is no longer my resume. I cast it down and I let you know from my heart I am willing to become love and make peace, and you're changing me on the inside. See, you're saved by grace through faith. So every time you get along with God and release faith in the truth, grace comes to make that truth your reality. All of a sudden, you can't take credit for changing. You just cry because he's changing you.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you love him all the more and you're all the closer to him because you didn't work hard to change. You just want change and you're with him and you're revealing that to him and he's making that yours.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, people say, what are you doing, man? You're so different. You can't even give him an answer. You can't get a trophy. You can't wear a church shirt that says super Christian. You end with Jesus. Nobody's getting a trophy. He's amazing. You are what you are by the grace of God. And all of a sudden you cry and you just love him more because he's changing you. Because you knew 3 weeks ago if they did that to you, you'd have fell apart and had to call Johnny for prayer and courage. And all of a sudden it didn't even ripple you. It didn't even shake you. All of a sudden you didn't even realize the extreme of what they did because you're different. And all of a sudden you're driving in your car and you're talking to community and crying and this thing's really alive and real in you. And now you're inspired to be with him all the more because you're changing by his spirit, not just serving him with your affection.
Yes.
Are you guys with me?
Yes.
You want to live that way?
Come
on, stand here with me.
Okay.
This is a teaching time, man. We're just going to do something here. And we're going to break and launch. What time are we back? 4 o'clock was the next service? Right? You picked that time. That's a pretty different cool time. I like it. It's pretty cool. Did you do that? Are you responsible, Michelle? Blame Michelle. She can take it. She's a woman of God. She can take it.
She can take it.
We're going to blame her for a lot of things. Being in love with Jesus, having great kids.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Don't blame Michelle for a lot. She jumped out of the car at the airport and gave me like the most amazing hug. I've ever met her in my life. I was like, hi! This is sweet. This is sincere. I'll be standing out there just smiling. Corey, where we are, I love you, man. Where are you? Bless you, buddy. Thanks for everything this weekend. Thanks for being in love with Jesus.
Yeah.
It means a lot to me. I have to get excited when I see people love Jesus. I love them the same when they're not, but when I see them in love with Jesus and you look at the fruit he's producing and the blessing he brings, why wouldn't we just go after him?
Amen.
Come on, why would you stay in the same old, same old? Why are you just waiting to catch a break? Why don't you surrender?
Hallelujah.
Why are you just waiting for things to go your way or don't again? Just some different cards. Give yourself to him. When nobody's looking, get alone with him and put off the old,
yes.
Put on the new.
Yes. Yeah.
Renounce the things that aren't producing life and start declaring the things over your life that produce life. Start thanking God that you're tenderhearted.
Yes.
Don't wait to become it. Thank God he's doing it. Go with the answer. Be an answer-conscious Christian. Don't be trouble-driven. Answer-conscious. God, you're doing a work in me. Stop saying, boy, I got a long way to go. See, because every time you're praying, you're coming from a level of condemnation where you're not. When you get there, you're always a step behind. Look, just if you have the desire to change, it's amazing. That's awesome. You've got to be waiting and thinking about it. Just the fact that something bothers you that used to not bother you ought to excite your heart. It means you
That's good. It. That's right.
Look, people come to me, Pastor. I know they come to you.
Yeah.
And they start crying. They say, Pastor, I need to talk to you. And you say, okay, I got to confess something. And you pull them aside, and they're broke, man. You ever see it?
Man, I don't know how I did this. I've been free for about a year. I just...
And they're crying, man. They're crying. And they're humble enough to come and tell you. And I look at them all the time. I do this all the time. I say, man, I'm so excited to see how pure the gospel's making your heart. And they're like, pure? Did you hear what I just said? Oh, I heard what you said you did, but I see who you are and who you're becoming.
That's it.
Right.
And here's the fact. If you start identifying with what you did and think that's who you are, you're going to miss the beauty of what's going on in your heart and it'll all be compromised and corrupt. But listen, what you're becoming, what you are in him is going to stop what you just did. If you can keep your eyes on what you're growing into, this has to die.
Hallelujah.
It has no place. You see it for what it is, man. There was a time in your life you did that and didn't even blink and was scheming how to do it again. And now you're broken over it. Man, you're growing in him. I'm so excited to see how pure your heart's becoming. That's how I pass that. I feel like that's encouraging. I feel like it keeps you from works and just trying hard or set up to fail, feeling like you're gonna stay in sin conscious instead of while God's doing the work in me. Man, listen, you preach like I'm preaching, and people get zealous and they go out and I'm gonna do this thing. Be careful with that. I'm gonna do this. And then you go out there and boom, feel like you failed. That's not Christian thinking. Wow, God, I can live this way. You're working in me. You're perfecting love me. This is amazing. And as you walk in it out, and all of a sudden you bump into a little something, a weakness of the flesh, and you feel something's right, don't think you failed. Be excited that you're realizing and seeing it for what it is, and you're putting on him as you're putting off that, and you just keep growing up into him and all things, and you never lose a step. Yeah? But it's just all about you and how you're doing, and if you're failing, or if you're someday you're going to need a trophy or something. I don't know. No, you are what you are by the grace of God. Do you want to live this way?
Yes.
Does this house want to become love?
Yes.
Do you want to impact and touch the people around you just by the simplicity of love and whatever that looks like in the moment?
Yes.
I know I do. And I would love to see that you do. Because that's what makes us one. That we all wake up to be like him. What makes us one isn't that we all sing together.
Uh-huh.
What makes us one isn't that we all sit in service together.
Yeah.
What makes us one is that in our homes we all wake up for the same reason. That's what makes us an army. Because all of a sudden you're having influence within your sphere of influence and we're touching a vast majority of stuff. Because we're all living this way. Not talking this way or singing this way. This is who we are.
Yeah.
I said it earlier, going to church will never change the world, but becoming like him will. You don't need to just have a word of knowledge in a church service. That's not what makes you spiritual. You can have a word of knowledge at work. You can have a word of knowledge at the gas station. It's incredibly fun. This might be a good stepping stone, a good starting ground. Don't just become somebody's mail reader. Your calling's not to read mail. Your calling's to be like him.
I love that.
Yeah.
I'm serious. People get this identity in the church, and then all we do is minister to ourselves for 20 years.
Come on. That's
so good.
And we feel like something. No, how about peeking around the gas pump? Hey, man, be encouraged. I don't know what's going on with your wife, but her house has been slipping or something. What is it with your wife? Man, I don't even know you. How do you know my wife? Is it true? Does your wife have a health crisis right now? Yeah, man, you're freaking me out. Well, these are real things. I can tell you so many stories. And you say, listen, just take my hand because I'm telling you, Jesus knows. He's changing your wife right now. You take heart and listen. You go after him. You hear me? You go home, you check the state of your wife, and you remember his name. His name is Jesus. He's your Lord and your Savior. He wants to live inside you and flood through all the days of your life. Just pray for your wife. And he's...
it's just fun, man.
You want that in your life, don't you? Let's become love. Everything works in love. It says, earnestly desire the best gifts, but I'll show you an excellent way. It's more excellent. At the end it says, pursue love, desire gifts. Don't be so pushed and used by God. Be pushed to become like him. And becoming like him, you will flow like him. My personal life, I saw every gift listed in that Bible flow through my life before I was a year old in the Lord. And nobody was teaching me. I wasn't going to a spiritual, supernatural school.
Come on.
I was in my bedroom with Jesus with a CD playing. You weren't there. And you weren't watching. And you weren't impressed with my prayer. And I was just seeking to know. And somehow, you come out of that room and you're different. Somehow you come out of that room and you know him a little more. And then you're only like 3 months old in the Lord and you're standing by somebody that needs a recreative thing and God does it. And you're 3 months old. No, you're not 3 months old. You're filled with the Spirit of a living God.
Amen. Yeah, a lot.
You're 4 months old and you say, sir, I feel like you need this emergency surgery. There's something you need a miracle in your body. You're facing a surgery. Guy freaks out. He's 40 years old. He's getting a double mesh wire put in his abdomen in the morning because his degeneration of his muscles. He's getting blowouts and his intestine is sticking out like a water balloon through his skin. And in the morning he's going for double mesh. I'm 4 months old, the Lord, and didn't even know where the phrase word of knowledge was in the Bible. But I knew where love was. It was in him and he was in me.
Yeah.
Nobody taught me word of knowledge. Nobody said, you can have a word of knowledge. Seek it, brother. I was just in the bedroom and when I got around folks, impressions came. By the time I was 9 months old, the Lord, I was moving in every spiritual gift that's listed. I was guest speaking and ministering in churches because how God was flowing in my life. And everybody was calling me a gift and an enigma and anointed. And they weren't understanding I had simple relationship with him.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I understand there's anointing. I understand there's gifting. It was relationship.
Yeah.
It was intimacy.
Yeah.
With the Lord. Why wouldn't you hold that? Take the time to get to know him. Get alone enough. Get quiet enough. Be with him. Don't try to work it out. Just accept his love. You love me. You value me. I want to know you more. I'm seeking you, God. You fill my heart with truth. So open up this Bible and read it. Bring me revelation. Give me understanding of how you see me and who you are, God. Thanks for what you're doing. I'm encouraged. Stay there. Stay there through the day. Father, I thank you for loving me. I appreciate you in my life, Holy Spirit. God, thanks for fathering me. Just little, just you're in love. You're in him. You're in relationship.
You
did it? Don't make appointments with God. Just make dates with God. And then Why do we think that's the way it is with God? The hour a day in the morning. My devotions. Intimacy. Relationship. Man, break away for an hour if you have the time. But make sure you talk to Him and commune with Him and develop an awareness of Him all through the day.
Amen.
When is He not in you? When is He not with you? When doesn't He love you?
Yeah.
When can He hear you?
It's good.
Really, really important when I'm telling you. You're just driving in your car to work and you're not, God, I hope today goes good. I hope you touch Billy because he's really been stretching me. No. Father, what an honor to go to this work today and have you inside of me. I appreciate it as a tool to help pay my bills. You're such a provider. And God, thank you for the people you've surrounded me with. Let your grace in my life make a difference somehow without me trying so hard. God, thank you for the beautiful thing you do in my heart. All of a sudden, all you have is love for people. And they don't even bother you anymore. You're not like a mission being changed.
Right.
And all of a sudden, your boss hasn't changed a thing, but you're doing a good job for him. And deep in his heart, he knows how he's treating you, and yet he sees he doesn't change you. Next thing you know, he's your big day. Do you know, I personally had a supervisor call my house and ask me how I live the way I do, came to my house, sat on my porch, and got born again. Do you know, I had two other supervisors who could save the jobs I worked at. One called me in his office trembling and said, would you help me come home? I need to come home, sweat pouring down his neck. And standing at his desk, called me off the floor because he said, I need to come home. He said, I thought you'd be the one to call. Laid my hand on his forehead and asked Jesus to wash him and cleanse him, and he collapses in his office floor, and he fell on the floor like this. And I'm like, wow. The other guy was cynical and spiteful, and he would mock me openly, and he was the head of our whole shift. You would think he'd be more professional. You could justify your attitude. You'd say, well, he needs to be more professional. He should know this is like that. Mock me in front of everybody. He would come through the crowd. He'd say, hallelujah, brothers. He would openly do stuff to me. And guess what? God gave me the great privilege and love to watch him get saved. I got to lay hands on him in his own apartment and watch God knock him out on the couch. And he slept for the first time in months. He walked by me and he said, I said, how are you doing? And he said, I'm fine, Dan. How are you? I said, I'm good. And he took a couple steps and the Holy Spirit said, he's not fine. He just scammed you. He's not fine. He's in deep depression. He's suicidal. He's going to quit his job. He's moving back to New York. And he can't sleep for months. He's in a bad place. I said, hey, you just scared me, man. He said, what? You aren't fine. What do you mean? You've been in a deep depression. You haven't slept for months. You quit your job. You think you're going back to New York. He goes, does it show? I said, no. I said, in the church, we use the word hypocrisy. You're a great hypocrite, man. It doesn't show at all. He said, then how can you know? And when he said no, he realized how I knew. He realized it was the one he mocks. He realized it's the one he despises. It's the one that he doesn't understand. And he realized that I'm the one he's using to love him, even though he treated me bad. He said, because it's the goodness of God that changes men, not the reprimand.
Yeah.
He says, well, then how could you know? And I said, yeah, that's right. The very one you've mocked and despised and haven't understood. He loves you so much that he told me those things to rescue you. It doesn't have to be that way. Jesus is Lord. He knows everything. He knows you. And he loves you, friend. And he's just... He leaves. He's so shook up he can't stay at work. He goes home. He can't function. He comes up the aisle, he's trembling. He says, I'm too shook up, I can't stay, I have to go. Can you come to my apartment after your shift? I said, I'll be there. Called my wife, made sure she was good. She's like, go get him, honey. Good girl. So I go over to his apartment, he's sitting on the couch, he's trembling. I walked in his house, I sat down, explained the gospel and why God sent his son. Most people say he sent his son to forgive you of your sins so you can go to heaven. That is not the gospel. He sent his son to become what you were, get the selfishness off of you so you can become what he is and put love back into you so you can live your life in his image and make peace with men and reveal his glory.
Amen.
And when I shared the gospel with him, he cried and said, that's the most beautiful thing I have ever heard. He said, that's the intention of God through the cross. He said, I've always mocked Christianity, made fun of Christians. I never understood Christianity. I said, now you understand. He said, it's beautiful. I said, so what do you want to do? He said, I want this Jesus. I said, my choice. So, Jesus, Chris, Jesus. Laid hands on him, and the Spirit of God just did what he does sometimes. He just thumped him, thumped, in a love thump. He just out of his couch. And I looked and I thought, I don't think I need to be here anymore. I'll just leave him with you. It's like honeymoon, you know? That's just a spiritual thing, not a weird thing. So I get home Sunday morning. That was Saturday night. I went home Sunday morning from church and hit my message machine, go through my messages. He's on my machine. My wife stood there and cried because she knew I went to his house the night before and I told him it went awesome. I told her it went awesome. Here was his message. It's kind of a quote. It's the way I remember it. He's like, Dan, good morning, Dan. I just want to call you and just thank you for Jesus. And it's for peace. Peace? Peace. I think I never knew there could be peace like this. I slept all night, man. Just thank you for Jesus. I'll see you tomorrow, man. Just thank you. And I'm standing there. My wife. And then as soon as it ends, I just hit it again and tortured my emotions. Slept again. And as soon as it ended, I hit one more time and just made it good. Bam! But see, that short week's just being angry at him. Just saying, boy, he's a mocker, he's a persecutor. God will give him what he deserves. Man, he's the animosity against the gospel. One day the earth's going to open up and swallow him. Are you kidding me? That is not Jesus. If he knew what he was doing, he wouldn't be doing what he's doing. He'd be different. If he knew, forgive him, Father. They don't know what they're doing. Why doesn't that bring true to our hearts? Come on, you can analytical all you want. You can talk to four other believers and they can come up with some line of prayer. How God needs to strike him down or judge him or whatever. That is not the gospel. It's the goodness of God that changes men, not the reprimand. Letting him define who I am is idolatry. Letting Jesus define who I am is loving him. That's the kingdom.
Yes.
You guys want that?
Yes.
You really want that? Lift your hands to heaven. I'm just going to pray grace over this house. Yes. Father, we come to you and we want you more and more. This isn't some impossible life. This isn't something that sets me up to fail. This isn't some fairy tale. It almost sounds like it. It almost sounds too good to be true. It must be the gospel. It's good news. Father, I just thank you for your grace upon this house. I thank you for every individual, every person, and even the corporate setting here, God, that there is just a grace and an empowerment to walk in freely without struggle everything you're proclaiming. And I know you captured our hearts. I can perceive it that there's so many of us that are so sincere. We're not going to let our zeal overwhelm us. We're not going to set ourselves up to fail and run out of here like 1,000 miles an hour. We're just saying, thank you for the truth that makes me free. Thank you for growing me in it. I'm really sincere and serious. You're doing a work in me and I rejoice. God, thank you for maturing us. And thank you for letting our lives matter and make a difference where others are concerned. Thank you for teaching us to love and look at men through your eyes and from your heart. And thank you for a legacy and a resume of much fruit in our lives. Father, prune us and get even more. Prune us and get even more, God. That we might bear much fruit without striving. Because love is evangelistic. God, I pray grace over every person. Holy Spirit, would you come? Would you minister strength to every heart, clarity to every soul? Would you come right now? And even those that are in situations at home that seem impossible, would you breathe hope into them and just shift their eyes and get their eyes off of trouble and get their eyes on truth? Would you just show them that them and you and them is the truth that they can build on without becoming cold or callous and separate or hiding behind a confession? There's a truth there, God, that you can make them wise and strong and assertive. Father, there's always an answer. There's always wisdom granted today. I feel like that. I feel like there's a handful of people. You have situations at home that seem almost impossible, and you're just waiting for God to change that. How about letting God keep doing something beautiful in you and keep causing you to see through him to where it changes who you are and how you are in the eyes of all? Father, I pray that grace over you right now. Father, I pray that grace over all of them right now. I do that over all of you right now that are in that situation. I'm not going to ask you to come up front here. I'm telling you, there's 8, 10, there's 9, there's 10 people here that can relate to that, strongly relate to that, you lift your hands to him right now, as we all have our hands lifted. I'm telling you, grace is coming upon
yes.
the situation.
Yes.
And grace is coming upon your own heart, your own mind. It's not impossible, and you're not all alone. You're in him. He's in you. You have answers in him. It's called love. It's called peacemaking. It's called mercy. It's not a position of weakness. It doesn't make you a doormat. Jesus wasn't a
yes.
doormat. He was the living epistle of love. So God, I bless this house in Jesus' name. And I thank you for grace upon the people. We give you honor. We give you glory. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.